little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
So if this man has temporal arteritis, and we move into the examination room, there is only one aspect of the examination which will be important for temporal arteritis, and that's touching the temporal artery. If I said you were only allowed to touch this man once in this examination, that would be the most important part of the examination. Now you could say, oh well, he's got a headache, we need to look at his eyes for pallidoma, we need to test his cranial nerves and so on, which is fine, except that it takes time. And there are really only three reasons why we examine patients. The first is to gather data, which is what we're talking about, data gathering. The second is it's part of clinical management. So that if a 35-year-old woman comes in to me and says, I've got a headache, she expects me to examine it. I don't say there's no point in examining you because it's not going to change the way I manage it, even though I may feel that. I feel this is part of clinical management. Now that's different to data gathering. And then the third reason that we examine patients is because that's what good doctors do. If you're a good doctor, you examine people. Now that's a real issue for trainees, because they come and see somebody like me and they think, oh, Dr. Miles is an experienced doctor, he's a trainee, he's an examiner, he's, you know, I better put on a good show for this guy, otherwise he's going to think I'm rubbish. And so they go into the exam and they say, right, this man's got a headache, right, I'm going to show off and do all the cranial nerves. Well, and of course I'm sitting there thinking, why is he doing this? You know, which cranial nerves are you going to examine and why? So choice of examination is really important. And that whole concept of a focused, not examination, but focused data gathering, what do you need to examine and why do you need to examine it? So I'll say to trainees, right, you're only allowed to examine one quadrant of the abdomen. Which one is it and why? And why the hell do you want to examine the left hypochondrium? You know, you might want to for various reasons, but the history would give you an idea. It's not going to give you as much information as other bits of the abdomen. And what tends to happen is that you go through the examination not thinking about what you're looking for and therefore missing things because you weren't expecting to find them in the first place. And, you know, if you say somebody comes in with earache, are you going to look in their ears? Well, the trainees will always go, yes, of course I am. Okay, so you can't manage earache on the phone in out of hours. You're going to have to bring that patient down. If you look at an eardrum and it's red or pink or not, is it going to change your management and how? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But you need to have a think about what it is that you're doing and why you're doing that. And that's where focused examination particularly comes in. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't examine patients. But what it does mean is that you should think about why you're examining, what information you're getting and what and how that impacts on your decision making. The rest of that examination may be about clinical management, about building rapport, about reassuring the patient and so on, which is fine, but don't confuse that with data gathering. And so once I start to have a discussion with trainees about this, then they begin to think a little bit more about how they can cut down the time in their consultation. And it's difficult, but then that's what safety netting's for. You know, we take risks in a consultation, but we safety net to make sure that if we're wrong, we're able to rescue ourselves. And essentially that's what a tailored safety net, that's why it's so important, and that's what it says there, tailored safety net. Because it's no point in saying, come back if it doesn't get any better. The trainee, the patient will say, what the hell does that mean? First of all, I can't get an appointment to see you for 3 weeks. Secondly, you haven't told me what the heck you mean by that. So if you've got a 14-year-old boy who comes into your morning surgery with central abdominal pain, you don't say, go away and come back if it doesn't get better. You say, well, you know, there's a possibility that this might be appendicitis. If that's the case, then the pain might move a little bit. If it's going to do that, it's probably going to do that over the course of the day. And if that's the case, I want you to ring, tell the receptionist that I told you to ring, and make sure that I get to know about it. If it's, you know, somebody who's had irritable bowel for 20 years and has left iliac fossa pain or something, you might have a slightly different approach to your tailored safety netting. But that's the way that we rescue ourselves when we're taking risks. Because the argument is always that if I cut down on my examination, then maybe I'm going to miss something or expose myself to criticism. And that is true.
And in the CSA setting, is that taken into account? You're not going to be expected to do the full swing of the MRCP type examination.
But it's not just taking into account, it's what I am looking for. I'm looking for a doctor who performs a focused examination and probably explains to the patient while they're doing it, or what they're not doing it.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no